Luke chapter number 6. Good to see all of you here this morning, and especially our visitors. We do have some folks that are out, some of our new folks. Brother Cecil, I heard that Don and them may have, or sick. I wasn't for sure if y'all had heard that or not, but I knew they wasn't here, and I think that they're out sick, I know. But anyway, I know we have several like that. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. Luke chapter number 6. I've enjoyed the singing, Keith. I enjoyed your song along with the Pointer Sisters backing you up. And that was really good. Luke chapter number 6. And we'll begin reading in verse number 47. And let's read here. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Now I think Matthew says, Matthew 7 over there says, built his house upon the sand, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here, the good singing. And God, I just thank you for what we have felt and already in the service. I pray, Lord, that you would help those that are sick, those that are out, and whatever reason. There's people watching by way of internet, and that's good. That's always a handy tool that you've blessed us with. And I pray, Lord, that somehow, some way through our church here in Millsfield, that you can work and minister in people's lives. I pray that, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Jesus, a lot of people say, well, the Bible's hard to understand. I don't understand the Bible. It's hard to understand. Jesus is one of the best preachers, the best preacher that ever walked through the pages of the Bible. He always taught in parables, and those parables, you say, what in the world is a parable? A parable is an heavenly story with an earthly meaning, and he would take stuff like the wheat and the tares, and he would compare those two, and people could relate to those kinds of things. The narrow way and the broad way, the Pharisee and the publican, the rich man and Lazarus. And he would take two things on opposite ends of the spectrum and compare them, and then make you and put you into the story, so you have to pick which side. Are you a wheat? Are you a tare? Are you a publican? Are you the Pharisee? Are you the rich man? Are you Lazarus? And all of those kinds of things. And it's easy to understand. It would be like me. When I preach, I give an illustration about so-and-so and this, that, and the other. Very similar. And so here we have a parable of two builders. And if you ever meet the master, the Bible will come alive. Even in the Old Testament, God used the same comparison. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Moses and Pharaoh, all through the Bible. Joseph and the coat of many colors against all of his brethren. Basically, it boils down to this: the real versus the fake. Don't look at your neighbor right there. But in James chapter number 1, this is what it says. And we're talking about hearers of the word. And so James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You would be surprised how many people under the sound of my voice right now, whether watching on television or the internet or whatever, or you're sitting right here right now, you would be surprised that are people that are hearers and not doers of the word. Deceiving your own selves. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like, see, that's what we do, we're fixing to pair. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. There's a mirror. He's looking into the mirror.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He looks into the mirror. He's got dirt on his face. His hair needs to be combed. He needs to put on a different shirt. It's got a spot on it. But he walks out the house anyway. The mirror told him one thing, but he disregarded what the mirror said and walked on out the door, seeing what he saw and forgot what he saw and went on and done what he wanted to anyway. Don't shout me down while we're preaching good. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So all through the Bible, you have these comparisons. And so listen, ladies and gentlemen, my responsibility is to preach the word. On Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Philippians. I teach the word verse by verse, and I preach the word. I do my very best to study and research and look and put together sermons and all of those kinds of things, and that is my responsibility. Now, what you do with it after you hear it is your responsibility. It's not mine. It is yours. I'm doing my responsibility right now. So here in this story, you have two houses. You have two hearers, and you have two hearts. Both of these are different. You say, preacher, what are you saying about I'm hearing the word, but I don't do anything with it? It would be like you going to the store and buying paint to paint your bedroom. And that paint is brand spanking new, and it's been sitting in the corner for years and years and years. Boy, I got new paint, and I'm going to paint this bedroom. But it doesn't get painted until you put the paint on the wall and apply it to your life. A lot of people come to church because, that's what we're supposed to do. We don't want Brother Jeremy calling us and finding out where we was, and we'll go. And we'll listen, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to play on my phone where nobody's looking, and I'm going to scroll through my TikTok and catch up on my Instagram and do my Twittering and catching up on my Facebook posts and see who's doing this, that, and the other, and surely nobody will see me, and I'll get my 30 minutes of preaching in. I'll walk out and go on and live my life like I want to. Somebody ought to say amen right there. You'd be surprised how much that goes on, even in a room like this. I see a lot from up here. Hallelujah. Jesus compares two men. One of them heard the word and was a doer of the word, and he built his house upon the rock. And the other man heard the same word and did not heed the word and built his house upon the sand. My first thought is, who was the real estate agent that sold him the property? What real estate agent, and I'm not against real estate agents, but what real estate agent would say, look at this beachfront property, it'll be a perfect place for a house? It is important who you listen to. A lot of people under the sound of my voice, they'll listen to me, then they'll go home and listen to Brother so-and-so, and then so-and-so, and then they turn on the television and listen to so-and-so, and then they got on the radio, and it's Christian radio, and they can listen to so-and-so, and they're so confused, they're a termite in a yo-yo, just jumping up and down. Every wind and doctrine, they don't know what they believe. They couldn't tell you five verses on eternal security. They couldn't tell you how to get to heaven if their life depended on it, because they've heard so many different ways, and they've listened to everybody just because they told a Bible, and wear a suit. You shouldn't listen to everybody. Everybody's not telling the truth. But notice in Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 47, he says, this fella digged real deep. The foundation had to be deep. It's going to pay you in the long run to dig deep in God and lay a foundation upon the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked this up. The Empire State Building is 102 stories in the sky. 102 stories. But the foundations is 5 stories deep under the ground. Because the larger the building, the bigger. I didn't take my medicine this morning. The longer the building, the bigger the building, the longer and the deeper the foundation has to be built. He dig deep. And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take time. It's going to take extra time to dig deep. Verse 49, both men were building the same thing. The storm came to both men. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. A storm is coming whether you're saved or lost. The same storm is coming to a saved house that it does a lost person's house. The only difference in the two houses, it didn't matter how many windows it had. It didn't matter what kind of roof it had, whether it was a metal or shingle roof. It didn't matter about if it's two-story, all that kind of stuff. Didn't matter about how big it was. The important thing was the foundation of both of those houses. Ladies and gentlemen, you're saying, preacher, what are we talking about? The last three Sundays, you talk about love, love, love. And man, I felt warm and fuzzy. That's why I wanted to come back. Well, you picked the wrong Sunday to come back. Because now, those of you, after three Sundays, you ought to be saved. If you ain't saved, you ought to get saved. But after three Sundays, we ought to build on a strong foundation. This church, ladies and gentlemen, we're building lives. We're building families. We're building children. Those kids right there are important to us. Families are important. This church is important. Building families, building lives. And it ought to be important to you. The Bible says in Psalm 11 in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The reason God has blessed our nation, America, is because it was built on godly principles, godly foundation, the Word of God, the King James Bible that came over from the Mayflower. That country was built upon that. And if our foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And ladies and gentlemen, the longer we live and the longer we go, our nation is crumbling up under our feet because we no longer have the Word of God as our foundation. Families are crumbling to the core because their foundation is crumbling because it's not built upon the solid rock. Somebody said, well, people get married. It's two people getting married. No, there's three. There's you and your wife, or you and your husband, and then there's God has to be in there too. And if not, it's not going to work. Families be destroyed. Churches are crumbling because now churches are not preaching the Bible. They're preaching social issues and they're preaching whatever, and they're selling ice cream and balloons and clowns and people in leotards up here jumping around as a praise band and trying to get everybody to come to church. Ladies and gentlemen, our churches are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge because we do not have a foundation upon the Word of God. It's time to get back to the Bible, get back to the basics, and get back to the God of the Bible. If your family's going to make it, if your church is going to make it, if your nation's going to make it, if your school's going to make it, if the courthouse is going to make it, it's going to have to be built upon the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, let me give you my first point, the building of the structure. The Bible says both of these men are builders. Both of them are building the same thing. They're building a house. When I think of a house, I think of a wife and kids and all of that kind of thing. I think about a place of protection, a place of shelter, a place where you raise a family. That's what I'm thinking when I see these two guys building this house. They're building a home. They're building more than that. Something is as important as a family. This family, this home has to be built, and without a foundation, the house will not stand. Dads, listen to me. The only foundation that's sure and unshakable for your family is the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you pick out windows, before you pick out the roof, or you pick out the color of the front door, you better decide, I'm raising this family. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I was looking for a few more amens than that, but hey, this is the only sermon I brought. He said he digged real deep. It's going to cost you some extra time. It's going to cost you some sweat. It's going to cost you some tears. This can't be a lazy man's way. There is no shortcuts in building a family. There is no shortcuts in building a church. You can't go cheap on me, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a Christmas and Easter kind of thing building. This ain't a once a month kind of thing building. If you're going to build a foundation, you better dig deep. Get your foot planted on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dig down, because you're going to have to fight hell. You're going to have to fight Satan. You're going to have to fight the devil and all the imps that he has. And the only way to combat that is the word of the living God. Dig deep. I know families right now that are not in church and they know better. Amen. Boy, where'd all my amens go? Get on the internet and copy some amens and record them. And then when I give you the signal, you just hit the button. And say, hey, boy, anybody in the internet, they'll think, man, we got a house full of ameners. Notice the other man, you're going to ask this man, Tommy, we're going to ask this man, why didn't you do it right? You built your house on the sand. Why didn't you build your house like this fella did on top of the rock? Why didn't you do it? And this is what he's going to say. I didn't think it was needed. I didn't want to spend the extra time and the money to do it. It take, preacher, you don't realize how hard I work. You don't realize I can't get up any earlier and pray. I can't read my Bible and raise a family. There are people that are dependent upon me. I got bills I should have never took out because I didn't have the money to pay it when I took it out. Boy, I could preach right there a minute. Get you a sheet of paper. Get you a sheet of paper. Draw a line. This is what Daddy told me. He said, get you a sheet of paper. Draw a line right down the center. On this side, you put down what you bring in every month. On this side, you got what's going out. If what's going out is more than what's coming in, don't go out to eat. If what's going out is not what you might want to leave Mickey Mouse alone and leave him down there in Orlando. Unless he's going to come up here and pay your bills for you. Well, Tommy, I'm off. That ain't even in the notes. That was free. The building that was being structured, dig deep, it's going to have to take some extra time. It's going to take some extra time and some effort. That Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if a man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, and then if you build on wood, hay, stubble, that's like building on sand. It's going to sink. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. The structure, the building of the structure. Jesus told Peter, said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's about a foundation. It's about a storm that's coming. It's about a storm that's here. I posted this, didn't get a lot of comments on it, but people are more disturbed about losing their cell phone than they are their own soul. They're worried about losing friends, and they're going to lose their family in the process. Brother Jeremy, that's good preaching. Come on and preach on. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man. You want to be blessed? Here we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You better watch out who you listen to. The counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, what is he happy about? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly is not so. They're like the chaff, the wind driveth away. They're blown from here, there, and yonder. They're not grounded on nothing. They're not grounded on nothing. They jump from here, there, and yonder. They don't know what they believe. Well, what you believe? Well, let me ask Brother Jeremy. I don't know what I believe. Let me ask him what I believe. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. The wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And the church said, this man might have said, why didn't you take the time? I didn't see the necessity. I was in a hurry. Preacher, I didn't have time to dig deep. I didn't have time to come to church. Nobody goes to church but old women and children, and that's all that goes to church. I'm a man's man, and I don't go to church. I'm a man's man. Well, let me tell you, man's man, you're going to stand before the God of heaven one of these days, and you tell him all that excuse and see how that goes for you. Don't take from, I had the privilege of having a good daddy. Gave me some good advice. He said, Jeremy, you hang around people that's doing something. If people ain't doing nothing, don't take no advice from them. Now, some of you are too busy taking advice from family members that hadn't been in church in 40 years. I feel like I'm preaching to an empty building, but that's all right because I'm enjoying it. The old preacher told me one time, he said, you spend time. When I got called to preach, y'all heard me tell this, I got called to preach, I thought daddy ought to turn the whole thing over to me. He was old, and I thought he ought to, let me have the whole thing. I mean, God's called me to preach, put the call of God on my life, and boy, I tell you, here we go. I said, Lord, daddy, you ought to turn it over to me. He said, no, I think I got a few more years in me, but we do need somebody to help take up the offering. I said, well, God didn't call me to take up the offering. He called me to preach. He said, well, go over and sit down then. We had a Sunday school class that needed one of the kids' class. Didn't have a teacher. They got sick that day. And he said, I need somebody to fill that spot. I said, Daddy, I'm a preacher. I don't teach a lot of kids. I'm a preacher. He said, get over and sit down then. I said, Daddy, when are you going to let me preach? He said, son, if you won't serve God in the little things, how's he going to help you in the big things? If you ain't going to serve him in the little things, how's God going to? You better get in that room, shut your door, get your Bible out, and start working on a foundation. What he said? No shortcuts allowed. I know praying takes energy. I know it takes time. I know paying your tithes, that takes money out of your pocket. I got that. But I'm just here to tell you, when you dig deep, put a foundation, God will bless. Blessed is the man. I've already read it. And it'll bless you. God will bless you for doing it the right way. Amen. No shortcuts. The only reason America has stood for over 200 years is because it was built on a solid foundation. That Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Boy, thank God I grew up in a Christian home. My daddy made us go to church. You say, you was abused. Well, I guess so. I was a drug addict. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, drugged to church Sunday night, and drugged to church Wednesday night. Wasn't asked. You tried to play that old my stomach hurts and all that stuff. That didn't work. He said, your stomach will still hurt at church, whether it will at home. And so you just come on, we're going to church. I tried everything I could. I started getting a conviction. I tried everything I could to get out of church. I said, Daddy, don't feel well today. We're going to church. It wasn't a question. Dad never asked me, did I want to go to school? He never asked me, did I want to brush my teeth? He never asked me, did I want to eat? And he never did ask me if I wanted to go to church. He'd maybe do all those things. Isn't it odd? We make our kids go to school. We make our kids brush their teeth. And we make them. Boy, Keith, that ain't even the notes either. And come church time, y'all want to go to church? Well, no, they don't want to go. The school system has taught them. Let me get back to my notes. Hallelujah. They don't even know what bathroom to go in at the schoolhouse. And then you go ask if you want to go to church. They don't know what bathroom to go in. And there's a picture on the bathroom. The women's got a little dress on the woman. On the man's, he got pants. If you can't figure that out, men, if you want to dress up in a costume, that help yourself. But don't expect me to play into that and agree with you on it. If you want to dress up like Captain America, help yourself. But don't expect me. You can walk around and tell everybody you Captain America. That don't make no difference. It don't make you Captain America. Dress up as the Easter Bunny if you want to. And men, dress up as a woman if you want to. Help yourself. But don't expect me to play into it. Pull that camera up real close. Boy, I tell you what. I done forgot my medicine, and I'm telling you, I'm loose lips up here. A church that has no foundation will not stand. The foundation of the Word of God. You have the building of the structure. Let me give you number two, the battering of the storm. Listen, let me tell you this. The storm is going to come to your house. The storm's coming to your house. Saved, lost, makes no difference. Storm is coming to both houses. Whether you built on the sand, whether you built on the rock, both, the storm is coming to both houses. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. So you're saying, preacher, how are we going to, if the storm's coming anyway, then why does it matter if I build on the house or build on the rock? It matters if you're going to survive and your family is going to survive and your church is going to survive and your country is going to survive. It's what you've built there on. I remember a story being told about a young girl. She was in the public school, and she was a Pentecostal holiness girl. And you could tell that because she had on the long dresses and the bun, and she had it all tied up real good. And listen, don't say nothing to Brother Jeremy, because my grandma was a Pentecostal holiness. And I mean, they had a beehive higher than anybody I've ever seen. So I know what I'm talking about. And Mama Asma, son, she had, I mean, enough bobby pins. She kept Walmart clean out of bobby pins, keeping that thing up in the air like that. And this girl at school, she had on the long dresses. She had the beehive, and everybody laughing and funning. And she didn't go to the party. She didn't do the everything that all of the in crowd was doing, and going to the places and going to the lake, and can't remember it the next morning. And somebody say amen right there. And she didn't do all of that. She went to church every time the door was open, and all of that. And everybody laughed at her and made fun. And they made fun and always laughing. Boy, and one day, during the school hours, here comes a tornado. It come over the news, and the beeping and the alarms were going off and all of that. And the teacher and all of them says, hey, it's time to hunker down and do what we practiced. And this old girl got up under the table like this toad. And everybody that ever made fun of that girl tried to get under the same table with that girl, because they knew that she knew God. Now, you make fun of us all you want to, but when the storm comes, we know who to talk to, and we do know the master of the wind. The battering of the storm, it's coming. It is coming to a city near you, and it will come. But let me give you the bidding of the Savior. Let me ask you this in closing. Sammy's coming here in just a second. The bidding of the Savior. Let me ask you one important question. Now, I've said a lot of stuff. And if we're not on the internet next week, you'll know why. Where will you be? Where will your family be? Where will our country be in 100 years from now? If the Lord don't come, if he does come, where will you be 100 years from now? Where will you be? Have you took the time and the effort? Daddies, have you took the time and the effort to build and dig deep and build on a solid foundation
on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did you take a shortcut and build upon the sinking sands of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Because the storm's coming. I think that Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You say, Brother Jeremy, how do you know you got the right sermon for today? You see how quiet it is in here right now? Build your house on the foundation of God. This church, as long as I'm here, I'm going to do my best to stay on top of the Word of God. Because I care for your family. I care for your kids. I care for our community. They have to see something different. They got to see something different than what they're seeing. They got to know that there's a place in Millsfield I can go to come to hear, thus saith the Lord. Yes, we're going to tell them about John 3:16. That was last Sunday. But yeah, now that they're saved, we're going to tell them how to build a strong home and a foundation and a church and a country and a courthouse and a school that'll stand on God's word. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, that you'd help us. God, give us that we need. Lord, I hadn't always done right. And I sure am sorry. But I can say this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Lord, would you please help us?